Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. Back on the show. Welcome back, Chris. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I missed you, Chris. It's wonderful to have you back. And the timing couldn't be better. We've reached August, okay? It's August. Fall practice begun. It's within spitting distance, Chris.
I am getting pretty excited. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to start with, you know what the season expectations are for this team. They are so high. I have totally and completely bought in on it. How about you?
I'm not all the way there, but I'm getting there.
It goes all the way back to, was it January when all these players started announcing they're coming back? It just raised my expectation level for the team. And you see it nationally. There are several places that are, calling this the best team in the country.
A lot of places.
Is that attention warranted?
Oh, I think absolutely. Yeah. So to kind of answer both your questions in one, I will say this. Jim, I'm such a biased Penn State partisan, but when I do any kind of media, I try to do right by the audience, which is call balls and strikes, try to look at it and be as honest as I possibly can while working through all my own emotional baggage, positive and negative, with being a lifelong Penn Stater. For every caveat or question I can come up with about this year's team, I really feel like there is legitimately a good counter that I can also have, where I can say, well, what about this? And I can look at it and say, well, but this. And I think we're going to get into some of them today, just looking at the show outline that you sent me, and I'm sure probably we'll touch on them over the course of the month to come. So yeah, there are certainly question marks like there will be for any team going into any season. And this is a year where it's probably more wide open at the top than we've seen in a long time in the sport. But Penn State has just as much a claim to be one of the most hyped teams heading into 2025 as any of the others that you'll hear mentioned.
Okay. I like how you worded that. They have as good a claim to it as anybody else, because I've gone, I've been doing this show for years, all right? And you always run the risk of being called a homer. And it's always interesting to me, the feedback that I get. I swear to God, from the same show, I could get feedback I'm a homer and I'm a hater also, okay?
Sure. Yep. I hear likewise. That.
But I can honestly say in all the years that I've been doing this show, I've never picked Penn State to be the best team in the country. Never. This year I am.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's also with the but is I can name 8 teams that I think probably feel the same way, where the fan base feels their team is or could be the best team in the country. So, and I'm going to, by the way, I'd like to name you the 8 teams.
Yeah, go for it.
From the Big Ten, Penn State, Oregon, and Ohio State.
Yes.
I think all feel like they have a valid claim.
Agreed.
Southeast Conference, Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. I feel they have a claim to it. Now, I'm not going to get into how many teams are in the Southeast Conference? 16?
16.
15 teams, fan bases, think they should be winning the national championship.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's the only fan base that doesn't think they should be winning it every year. And even this year, they probably think they should be in the upper half, okay, of the league. But I'm going to stick with my three from the
South. Diego Pavia thinks they're going to be national champions. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now it's no longer even the SEC except Vanderbilt. It's just the SEC.
Yes. Yeah. So the reality check, I'll give three teams that maybe you could get an argument from like an LSU, an Ole Miss, but I'm going to set them as the next.
They're a notch below. You're right. And I'll tell you who your other teams are. It's Clemson and Notre Dame.
Bingo. Bingo. Those eight teams, I think they all can stake a claim to it. And if it was all even, okay, each one would, if my math is correct, you're a smart guy, correct me if I'm wrong, each would have a 12.5% chance to win the national championship if we evenly distribute it, right? Did I do my math correctly?
Yeah, and I think that's about right. I agree with you. Not only do they think they have a legitimate shot, they're correct.
But I think you could go into those eight teams and say, well, I think this team a little bit more, that one a little less.
Yeah.
But even at the high side, if I say I think Penn State has the best chance of the eight, that puts them at like 14 or 15% chance of winning a national championship, right? It's not like all of a sudden, okay, I say they're the best team in the country. They've got a 60% chance of winning the national championship. It doesn't work that way anymore. It's not Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. It's one of those three teams. It's one of at least eight teams. And so it's going to be, are you hot at the right time? It's like baseball now in the playoffs. Sure. Ohio State was not the best team during the regular season, but they were easily the best team during the playoffs.
And as I've mentioned many times, when the playoff format has come up as a discussion topic, all of this is so new and they're still tinkering with it. So we really don't have great perspective. We can take guesses, but we don't have a lot of data to show us what needs to happen during the regular season to set you up for postseason success. Like, you remember, we talked a lot heading into last season, and as the regular season was unspooling last season, man, it might not be the best thing in the world to end up with one of the top seeds the way that they're the way that they were determined last year. And that absolutely turned out to be the case. Now they're going to do it a little bit differently this year. They're not handing conference champions automatic first round buys. You're not going to see like Boise State is the three seed in the tournament necessarily. You're going to get seeded based on the way you're ranked. So maybe that's going to even out a little bit, but you number one have to have the kind of regular season that qualifies you for the postseason. And then you want to have a regular season that sets you up for postseason success. Now, theoretically, some people maybe would have looked at it on paper last year and said, oh, Oregon did that. Well, they most certainly did not. I know we'll probably talk a little bit about what qualifies as a successful season for Penn State, and I'm going to dance around it just as a warning. I really wonder how Oregon fans feel about their year last year, 12-0, Big Ten champions. If I'm an Oregon Ducks fan, I probably feel like that season was a big old dud because it ended in just such embarrassing fashion. I don't know. I mean, you win 13 games in a row. That feels real special until you get splattered across the highway in the first one that really matters.
Well, that's what's interesting is, and Chris, compare the Oregon regular season and what happened to them in the playoffs, and the Ohio State regular season with two losses, considering they had the best talent in the country. I think we could agree on that. And look where each team ended up.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
But it's also led to my theory that Oregon and Ohio State, I don't want to fall into the trap of, oh, this expanded playoff, so the regular season doesn't mean anything. However, if you're Oregon fans and you look at, hey, we were undefeated last year, where did it get us? If you're an Ohio State fan, hey, we lost two games. So what? We won it all. So my theory, and I've, you know, given this more than once on this show, is to Oregon and Ohio State, it's now just have two losses or fewer. Survive the regular season. Penn State's the one team of the three, though, that has to win in the regular season.
I think that's probably right. If for no other reason than I think confidence is going to be a key differentiator for them this year, and they need to feel like they are over the hump on this whole big game question before the games really start to matter in the postseason. But germane to this conversation, what do you need to be prepared to win in the playoffs in college? You want to be built for the long haul. That means you've got to have superstar talent. That's a necessity to win the championship in football. But then you got to have depth, and you got to have great quarterback play. And Penn State, I think, checks all of those boxes for 2025. Certainly, there are some great, great players, some real elite talent that's going to be selected high in the NFL draft April 2026 on this roster. I think this is as deep a team as James Franklin's had across the board at Penn State. And the great thing is that's been true for consecutive years since, I think, about 2022. And we just keep building and building. And, you know, look, we'll talk a little bit about what Drew Aller's done and what he still needs to do. But he's a great player with an elite toolkit, and he's experienced. And we've seen experience as a real differentiator in this new era of college football. And just, you know, in sports in general, that's a good rule. But in college especially, really benefits you a lot. I thought James Franklin had a great analogy at Big Ten Media Days last week when he talked about how you saw upperclassmen-laden teams in the NCAA tournament go on runs just because they had mature athletes who had a lot of veteran knowledge and savvy about them. I think we've got that at the quarterback spot this year, which is the most important spot on the field.
And we have it in other places on the field too, that experience. It's funny he brings up the basketball analogy, because our colleague Dustin Schutte, who writes for the Big Ten, most specifically about Purdue. So he'll talk about Purdue basketball. That's his preference over talking Purdue football. Hard to blame him. And he often uses that same example in basketball, where there are so many one-and-done teams. The elite teams, they're built around one-and-done players. So if you could get a team where the players have been around a while, you've got 22-year-olds playing against 18-year-olds. The 18-year-olds may have more raw ability, but the 22-year-olds, they're met. Okay, and they've been playing together for several years. I want to build on that point, Chris, as soon as we come back, and also talk about Drew Aller. We'll do that when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Chris Buchanani. It's quarter number two of our show. We're previewing this Penn State football season. And Chris, you brought up the point about Drew Aller, that experienced quarterback. This is, I think, an interesting way to segue to that conversation. Going back again to those eight teams we talked about with the best chance to win a national championship. How many of those eight have a returning quarterback?
Oh, let me think. Three.
Penn State, Clemson,
and oh, maybe it's only two. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people will talk about Arch Manning at Texas and
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's who I was thinking of. Well, so he played last year. So I kind of you're probably right though. Not enough that you would think of him as like a returning starter or anything.
Right. And I should have phrased it that way, returning starter. I think that's a big deal. I think it's why Clemson has a shot this year. I think it's why Penn State has a real shot. And you add to it, the narrative is similar to Michigan and Ohio State, your national champions the last 2 years. Ohio State, they brought in a transfer experience quarterback, but he had a lot of starting experience. The year before, Michigan had the experienced quarterback. And both teams also brought back a whole bunch of seniors who they didn't know if they'd be coming back or not.
Yeah, the comparisons between 23 Michigan, 24 Ohio State, and 25 Penn State are plain as day. No doubt about it.
And is that to do market inefficiency, okay? Is that the money ball on base percentage thing? Is not the acquisition of talent, but the retention of talent?
I think so, depending on what your resources look like. And I think that Penn State, from what I can tell, is playing this thing pretty smart in terms of where they're picking their spots, in terms of where they're going to put the majority of their finite resources. I talk about this a lot with recruiting and just program prestige and everything. You think about the wealthiest people you know in your life. They're miserable because all they can do is fixate on the like 9 or 10 people who have more money than they do instead of the millions and millions who don't. That's kind of college football fans, right? Like no Penn State fan wants to hear about the 122 FBS programs that are worse off than Penn State. They're just super pissed that there are 7 or 8 that are way better than we are. And so we don't have as much money at the very top. It's like Oregon or Ohio State or Texas A&M, Texas. So we got a big pool, but it is capped, and it's capped below what the biggest heavy hitters in the sport are able to spend. So you got to be smart about the way you allocate it. And I think if you look at it, it seems like Penn State, smartly, I believe, invested a lot of dollars in known commodities to set themselves up for success this year. And it also looks like, looking ahead, they're ready to take another big swing with the class of 2027. And maybe we've gotten outbid for some kids in the 26 cycle. And I think maybe that's because we don't have an unlimited pot of money or a blank check, whichever analogy you want to go with. And we're looking ahead and saying, hey, we're once some of this class of 2025 retention money comes off the books, we'll be ready to devote more of that to the class of 2027.
I hadn't thought of this before, except in listening to you, the way you put it, it's kind of like the old days with Joe Paterno, where they weren't going to compete for a national championship every year. There was a cycle.
And you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, I think, you know, kind of because of the institutional obstacles Penn State has got to get around. Geographic location, recruiting footprint, brand, even just sort of the institutional culture, where we will probably, I'm not saying we cut no corners, but we certainly cut fewer corners than some of the programs we chase at the top of the sport. There's no doubt about it. And because of all of those things, we're not going to have an elite class every single year. Like you look at Ohio State, they average like a top 3 recruiting class. That Penn State's never going to do that. So yeah, we've got that Joe Puff philosophy fit really well, which was hit 2 home runs out of every 5 plate appearances in terms of the class of talent you're bringing in, and then try to make contact in 2 of the other ones. And you'll probably have a dud in there. And that sets you up to have a legit national title contender at least once every 4 or 5 years. And I think the dynamics of it have changed because of transfer portal and revenue sharing and NIL. But the general philosophy of we're going to tee ourselves up for one of these 2025 type campaigns every 4 or 5 years, I think you're seeing that come into focus once again.
It's funny you bring that up, the recruiting and the comparison, what Ohio State brings in. Just last week, here are my notes I'm holding up for you to see.
Yeah.
The last 6 years recruiting rankings between Ohio State and Penn State for the last 6 years.
Yep.
And the point being, over that 6 years, Ohio State had a top five recruiting class every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State had zero top five recruiting classes, one top 10 class, but what a class it was. That was the 22 class.
Yes.
Which they're still reaping the benefits of that class with Drew Aller and Nick Singleton. And I think Danai Dennis Sutton was part of that also. So that is the case. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, it does mirror, you know, what Joe did with the cycle of teams. But, you know, getting back to this year's team, it's still about – I talked about, you know, the narrative of the what Michigan and Ohio State did the last 2 years. But the other narrative is James Franklin and also Drew Aller – can't win the big game.
And before we get there, Jim, because I do want to dig into this, but I just want to throw out one more stat, which I am stealing from Joel Klatt, because it's germane to the recruiting conversation and the comparisons to Michigan and Ohio State. You've heard the term blue chip ratio. It's the percentage of your roster that's 4 or 5 star recruits.
Yes.
Ohio State last year won the national championship with the highest ever blue chip ratio of talent on its roster. Michigan, the year before, the lowest. So Penn State really is trying to more emulate the Michigan model. And you go back to those numbers you just threw out about Ohio State's recruiting classes versus Penn State's. Now compare that to NFL draft picks in the same period of time. Where Penn State is making up the ground is on the developmental side. We are kind of overachieving in terms of our ability to crank out NFL caliber talent versus the percentage of truly elite recruits that we're bringing to campus. So if you're going to hear a lot of talk, if you listen to any preseason previews about blue chip ratios and trying to parse out those 8 national title contenders we just talked about in the last segment, the way Penn State will close the gap on teams that have, you know, maybe a higher blue chip ratio is player development. And that's when we talk about an elite staff from top to bottom, that's where we make up that ground.
Well, and there's one other place that they make up the ground a bit, Chris, and that is how the talent distribution is within the team. I did this several years ago until Drew Aller, okay? Sean Clifford was the highest rated player at quarterback from the James Franklin era. And he was ranked in his recruiting class the 200th best player in the class. Okay. So until Drew Aller, that's as good a quarterback as, you know, Penn State had gotten recruiting ranking wise. Ohio State every year brings in 2 quarterbacks who are top 100 players.
Right.
If not
right.
3. And they do that every year. Well, if you do that over 3 years.
This is always my point about Ohio State. If anything, they've massively underachieved over the years.
Yeah, but you get 8 over a 4-year period, you get 8 of those guys. Well, guess what? You can only put one of them on the field at a time.
Correct.
So when Penn State gets that one, Drew Aller, you got to make the best use of them. Yes. Meanwhile, at Ohio State, Joe Burrow – a future Heisman Trophy winner, and I guess he was a number one draft pick, wasn't he?
Sure was.
He can't start at Ohio State. He's not good enough. He's got to transfer somewhere to get an opportunity to play. My point being that those two guys that get recruited or over 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, how many of them never play at Ohio State, but they're part of that recruiting ranking.
Sure.
And why it's so high.
Yeah.
So along with development, there's a little bit of arithmetic and math to those rankings that you got to filter in. So if you're a Penn State, you've got to be really smart how you recruit. Make sure, as our colleague Andy Shea always says, it's about getting the right guy, not necessarily always the best, using stars as the rating for best.
And as with the amount of NIL money you have at your disposal, there are levels to this thing. And let's not pretend that there is absolutely no difference in the way the recruiting industry assigns value to a recruit from between an Ohio State commit and a Penn State commit. You know, look, if Zane Durant would have committed to Ohio State instead of Penn State, would he have ended up with an extra star till all was said and done? Who's to say? But there are definitely, I think, plenty of cases where Penn State not only does a great job developmentally, I think there's just no question about that. It's so hard to look at the hard results of where guys are rated coming in and then the number who end up going to the next level and being highly valued by the NFL. Penn State is doing a really good job punching above its weight at player development, but there are just maybe five programs in the country that can tack on a little bit extra value to a commitment than a Penn State commitment, and Ohio State's one of them.
And also, Chris, part of this, there's development, but it's also scouting. Do you know,
sure.
There are several examples. Penn State was on Drew Aller before everybody else was. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons they got him out of the state of Ohio. They were there before Ohio State was. Justin Fields is another example. Never made it to Penn State, but Penn State scouted him and was on him before everybody else. All right, Chris, you ran out the clock. When we come back, you're going to answer my question about Drew Aller.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. He's Chris Buccanani. I am Jim Galante. And Chris, we kind of got off on a tangent a little bit, but I'm going to stay off on that tangent just for a moment.
Sure.
Because in a show, and I do research a lot of times before these shows, I find stuff out. And when I find out something interesting, I'm going to use it, but I don't want to just use it once. I got to use it multiple times. Okay. So I gave you the Ohio State recruiting rankings for multiple years that I had for that show. The other part of that show that I brought up that I thought was fascinating, we talk about, you know, the specific recruiting class like 2022. But some of these players, did you know Abdul Carter was ranked as the 33rd best linebacker out of his class? 33rd.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Zane Durant was a 3-star. Tyler Warren, all-world tight end, right? 3-star. Now, I'm sure every school could bring up those examples of their 3-star guys who became superstars. But I think Penn State has done a good job in assessing the talent, projecting the talent, what these kids can become, and then also the development of them, both in strength and conditioning and as well as on the field. So I just wanted to throw that out there, get a 2-for-1 on my research of that information. Let's get back now to my question for you about James Franklin, Drew Aller. Chris, they can't win the big games. That's the national narrative. Was it a week or so ago we heard from, you know, Paul Feinbaum, James Franklin will never win a championship. I'll never bet on him, blah, 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 blah. You've heard it all before. But how valid is that narrative?
Very. It's very valid, and Feinbaum, love him or hate him, is totally justified in saying that. Now, another comparison between Penn State this season, Michigan 2 years ago, and Ohio State last year, is that all three enter the season, you know, with a lot of returning talent, national championship aspirations, and a coach who is widely believed by the college football world to be incapable of winning the biggest games. Right? Each in their own way. But when it comes to James Franklin, Jim, I mean, I did a little prep here. We all know his record against top five and top 10 opponents. Spoiler alert, it's terrible. I'm going to throw you out just a few bullet points here. In 11 seasons at Penn State, James Franklin has won as an underdog 3 times. Against Boston College in the 2014 Pinstripe Bowl. Of course, against Ohio State in 2016. You can't miss seeing that blocked kickoff or kick field goal highlight. And Wisconsin to open the 2021 season. And by the way, that 2021 season completely fell apart and the team finished 7-5. He's 6-6 in bowls at Penn State. And you can ask, how could he be 6-6 in coaching 11 seasons? Remember that there were 2 bowl games last year because of the way the playoff system works. 1-10 versus Ohio State, 3-7 versus Michigan, 5-4 versus Michigan State. And here's a stat I have not heard yet. I just came up with it this morning. And if my back of the envelope math is off by a game or two, I apologize, but I think this is right. In ranked on ranked games in his Penn State career, James Franklin is 13-20. And in 7 of those 20 losses, he had, according to the Associated Press, the higher rated team. And that's with an asterisk because it could be 8 of those 20 if you want to say that we were seeded higher than Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. But actually, according to the AP, Notre Dame was 3 and we were 5. So 13-20 in ranked-on-ranked matchups is not so good, Jim. So I'll turn the question back around on you. Is it valid to say James Franklin can't win a big game?
I will give you the quote I often give. It is until it isn't.
Correct. Absolutely.
And Jim Harbaugh, you know, they were ready to get rid of the guy. The fan base wanted to get rid of the guy until he won. Ryan Day may have to thank the fact that the playoff system was changed from 4 teams to 12, that he still has a job. Okay. A year ago, if it were still a 4-team playoff, Ohio State does not make the playoffs. They don't. And he arguably had the best talent in the country. You could argue Ohio State might not bring him back, okay? But expanded playoffs, his team finally played like they should. Dabo Sweeney, same thing at Clemson. There was always issues with him. And, you know, I think the one I often bring up, and it's basketball, is Jay Wright at Villanova. For years, his reputation was for underperforming as soon as they hit the NCAA tournament. That was the narrative until it wasn't.
Can I share a quote with you, Jim?
Sure.
Here's a quotation. Writers and fans said, for all to hear, that Paterno couldn't win the big one at the critical moment. Those are the words of the man himself from his autobiography, Paterno, by the book, reflecting back after having won the 1982 national championship. And I show that quote to my Penn State football history class, which I will take the opportunity now to plug. You can enroll in this fall. It's being offered by Penn State Olli, O-L-L-I. Look it up. You can get a membership and join for cheap. You can join and enroll as a non-member. It's a little bit more expensive. It is a lot of retirees in the Olli program, so it's being offered in the mornings. So sorry to all the folks who are working or in school or whatever. But if you get a chance, I would love to have you in the class. You can take it remotely. You can take it in person if you're listening in State College, either on 98.7 The Fox or via podcast or whatever. But I present that quote to my Penn State football history class, both to kind of reveal what people were saying about Joe at the time and his sensitivity to it. And also to say, like, hey, does that sound familiar? Does that sound like comments we're hearing about another head coach at Penn State? And it goes back to your point. All of these things are true until they're not. So there is as big an opportunity as the man has had in his career to either rewrite or probably cement forever his legacy this season.
That's exactly the point with this. He's put everything in place, and credit to him for doing that, for putting himself and this team in this position. And the fact is, like, some of the stats that you put out there, Chris, not to debate them because they're ugly in many ways, but when you, what was he, 13-20 against fellow ranked teams?
In ranked on ranked matchups.
Which is ranking, what's his record against Ohio State?
1-10.
Okay. That to me, that right there is the stat that slants everything else. The fact is, every one of those years, Ohio State had the better team. I don't know this. I haven't looked it up. But out of those 11 games, how many times was Penn State favored?
Never. No, once with the win in 2016. So
we're, yeah. No, I don't think they were favored.
No, I'm sorry. Are you saying how many times were they favored?
Yes.
How many times were they favored?
Okay. Why? Because Ohio State's been the better team every single time with more talent. And oh, by the way, and again, not that this means anything to the fan, and maybe it only means something to us gambling degenerates, but the record against the spread against Ohio State is actually pretty good. Okay.
Neat.
I'm sorry.
Neat. That's neat. Who cares?
I know.
I understand if you're making money off of it or whatever, but you know, anybody who wants to say any of the big game criticism of James Franklin is unfair is like, you know, with Elon Musk on Mars. That's just nuts. It's a totally valid criticism.
I'm just saying there could be an argument that if he was supposed to lose by two touchdowns and also only lost by one touchdown, his team exceeded expectation. But I'm playing a little devil's advocate there, because my issue has always been not so much that he lost, but how he lost these games. Double-digit leads in the fourth quarter, yeah. And he still loses. So the question to you, Chris, is, what needs to change? Not simple, oh, he's got to win those games, but what's he doing wrong? What does he need to correct to win those games?
Well, here's the thing, Jim. I thought about that a lot because you put this question to me before we started today's recording. And I, at this point, I don't know that I've got a direct answer, because a lot of my criticisms of James Franklin's in-game management have been addressed over the last few years. I think that's one of the big positives with him, frankly, that he has shown improvement and growth. And that's really meaningful to me. It's that, you know, another Paterno quote is, you never stay the same. You're getting better. You're getting worse. It's meaningful to me that he's getting better. I think that's great. It seems to me, some of it is luck, unfortunately. Some of it is that talent gap we talked about with recruiting. But other than that, I think it is just about confidence. And that goes back to the point you made about, of all these teams that are chasing the national title in 2025, none probably needs a big regular season win more than Penn State, because they've got to be able to get it into their heads that they can do this. And so, I'm not even joking about this, short of all the coaches and players having themselves hypnotized before the Ohio State game and having one of these like hypnotists you see advertising on Twitter and YouTube said that you worked with like Fortune 500 CEOs and like Olympic athletes and Mike Tyson and stuff saying you can beat Ohio State. I don't know that there's anything they need to do differently.
I have my only thought with James Franklin is coaches as an aggressive coach in most games, and then in a big game gets tight. And my example, the Ohio State game, and everybody remembers first and goal from the three, and they runs it up the middle three straight times. Would he have done that against any other team but Ohio State?
I guess the point is, in those situations when you have to make a decision, just give the ball to your best player. You know, you take the ball out of Trace McSorley's hands on 4th and 5. Give the ball to Tyler Warren in that short goal situation.
Exactly. All right. One more quarter to go. I promise we're going to hit more of our agenda, Chris, when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number 4 on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. It's the fourth quarter of our show. One last thought on how we finished up on the third quarter. I was talking about the Penn State-Ohio State game. First and goal from the three, you run it up the middle 3 times with Catron Allen. But I think the other thing in that game was, if you recall, end of the first half, Penn State gets the ball like it just into Ohio State territory, first down, and he got conservative. He let the clock run down, so he didn't want to give the ball back to Ohio State. I think any other game, he's firing the ball down the field. He's trying to score. He played it very conservative, and lo and behold, he ends up like inside the 10 and without enough time to run multiple plays, so they end up throwing an interception into the end zone. That's my criticism of it. Now, Chris, I sent you an agenda with a lot of questions. We've only gotten about a third of the way through them, so I'm going to try and hit them kind of rapid fire here.
Let's do it.
We talked about James Franklin. How about Drew Aller? Is this season simply come down to a Drew Aller performance?
I mean, if you want to distill it to something so simple in what is the ultimate team game, that is the one. That's the one data point you would bring it down to, because, you know, whether it's the professional or the collegiate level, teams don't win championships with subpar quarterback play. And like, don't talk to me about like Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer. These are like the exceptions that prove the rule, and they're 20 years old. So yeah, you need great quarterback play. And I did look at Drew's stats in quote unquote big games. He's played 9 games against ranked opponents in his 2 years as the starter. He's 3-6 in those games. And those stats are padded by the fact that Iowa was ranked number 24 in 2023, and they stunk, and we shut them out. So really, 8 meaningful, quote-unquote, big games, and he's 2-6. I'm just kind of looking at his career averages and then his averages versus ranked opponents. in those nine games against ranked opponents, he is below his career averages in
everything, I'd assume.
Completion percentage by 10 points, yards per game. He only gets above 200 yards in two of those nine games. And he's 0-2 in those games, by the way, against Ole Miss and Oregon. Touchdowns per game, he doubles his career average for interceptions, which is very, very low, right? Like he averages 0.34 interceptions a game across 2 years as the starter, which is great. But he's at 0.6 against ranked opponents. The only place where he does a little bit better, Jim, is in his rushing yards per game, which is, you know, an evolving part of his game. But he's not gotten it done. And frankly, again, since half of those games were offenses being coordinated by Mike Yurcich, especially, although going back to that Ohio State game last year, I don't know, Andy Kotelnicki covered himself in glory in the biggest opportunities against the big game opponents Penn State played last year, but certainly going back to the Yurcich era, I don't know that he was done any favors about the position the coaching staff put him in those games. But ultimately, if you want to be the guy, you've got to transcend those obstacles, both internal and external, and come up big in the biggest moments. And he hasn't done that yet.
And naturally, the stats, the losses are going to be against better teams. So the stats are going to go south a bit.
Absolutely.
Just natural, no matter what. But the eyeball test, he hasn't passed the eyeball test.
Now, well, I said earlier in the show that I felt like for every legitimate critique, there's a legitimate counterpoint. I think the counterpoint is the growth from 2023 to 2024. That's a big one for me. Like I talked about with James Franklin, can you show me that you're getting better? No one can sit down in front of me and say Drew Aller was not a considerably better player at the quarterback spot in 2024 than he was the year before. So can he duplicate that? I think that all the pieces are in place. Warren leaves, but the tight end room is still very strong. The offensive line is going to be as good as we've seen under James Franklin and for a good bit before that, most likely. You went out and overhauled the receiving core, as everybody was justifiably demanding after the Orange Bowl. Got two great running backs in your backfield. Everything is set up. Your second year of an offensive coordinator in the same system. I think there are a lot of things pointing in the direction that, yes, he can continue that growth curve.
And to me, I think all of those things are great. And the running backs, the quarterback experience. To me, what will set this team apart, I think, is the offensive line.
I agree.
That it's such a major part of everything that the offense does. Pass protection, opening holes for the running backs. So all those things are in place.
The Town and Gown Football Annual just came out, and the offensive line is on the cover. There you know, when the O-line is good enough to be the cover of the preseason preview, you got good things cooking. Let me put this to you, Jim. What's the greatest offensive line in Penn State football history, in your opinion? It's a pretty easy answer.
94?
Correct. I think it's hard to dispute. Let's assume that whether it's Anthony Donka or Cooper Cousins, who we're going to consider the, quote, starting right guard for this year's team, irrespective of that, this year's offensive line has a chance to do something that 94 offensive line did not, and that's have all five of your starters end up as NFL draft picks. I don't think it is hard to imagine at all that Drew Shelton, Venga Iwani, Nick Dawkins, either one of those two guys I just mentioned eventually going on to be NFL draft picks, and Nolan Rucci, all get selected somewhere when they're eligible in the NFL draft. And that did not happen. The 94 line, Bucky Greeley played 3 years in the league, but as an undrafted free agent is where he started. That's rare air to be starting five guys who are good enough to be taken in the NFL draft. And I think we have a real shot to have that happen at Penn State this year.
I think you could possibly with, you know, who's going to start, Nolan Rucci or Anthony Donka, and they both could be NFL players.
Yeah, there's eight guys on the cover of this Town and Gown Annual, and I think all of them could end up getting drafted into the league eventually.
I agree. And that's why I am so high on this team, along with all the other things. All right. I know you said it'll be a vague answer, but what has to happen for you to call this a successful season?
Yeah, here's why I'm going to be vague on this one. I'm about to lay down a full hour of this discussion for the debut obligatory podcast. So after you're done listening to the Keystone Sports Network, go listen to or subscribe to the obligatory PSU podcast, and you'll get my full thoughts on
shameless
that, along
plug.
With Mailman Kevin and Brad Noble. Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you get away with that.
Appreciate it.
It's obvious the position group that has the most concern, wide receiver.
Sure.
And I'll get to that in a second, but is there any other position group that concerns you?
Yeah, there are three of them, and not because of the starters, just because of my questions about depth and experience. And probably in order, they go quarterback, defensive line, safety. Those are three spots where if Penn State can't stay healthy, we could potentially have some real problems.
And, you know, that it feels like a first world problem.
Yeah, because, definitely.
You know, you've got two studs at on the defensive line. You got a stud at cornerback. You got a stud at safety. So, yes, health is the issue there. How about thoughts on this? It's a new wide receiver room, essentially.
And real quickly, for the record, I'm not worried about the linebacker core at all. Not at all. They'll be fine.
I think they will too. But let's talk real quick
receivers,
about wide receivers. They completely remade the wide receiver room. Three transfer portal guys come in. Is it a new year, a totally new world at wide receiver?
Well, here's the way I view it. To me, this is a complete fool me once situation. I mean, you know, I remember saying on the show with you 2 years ago, talking about the receiving core, I said, well, you know, like we feel like we've got one solid option and all we need is one of these many talented, highly thought of recruits to develop and we'll be fine. And law of averages said at least one of them would be good, right?
Right.
I'm not saying that again. Now we are in show me, earn it, prove it on the field territory. Kind of back to what James was saying about the offensive line once upon a time. And it's wonderful to not have that as a concern or a problem anymore. I think just to be frank, it's hard to imagine, Jim, that they could be worse than the production we got out of the position last year. And I like the combination of guys they've brought in that I feel like each one of the transfer wideouts brings something different to the table. And having that experience, you know, James talked about rightly, I think, that you have two out of three of them were team captains in Hudson and Pena. I'm getting kind of excited about what I see too from Devontae Ross. Just kind of thinking about the role he could play in this offense. And I think because you bring in that experience from outside, it maybe gives you a little bit more pad for the guys you have on your roster to find their niche and to develop for some of these younger guys. So I'm not pessimistic about it, but you'd be a fool to enter the season, in my opinion, with any kind of optimism, because at this point it's just say like, hey guys, you're from a neutral position and you should be grateful to be there after we've seen the last couple of years.
Care to make a prediction for the season?
Record wise?
Yeah.
No, I'm not there yet. Nope. I am enjoying the fact that I don't have to do it until we record the first TV show, and I'm taking full advantage. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided.
I'm going to give you my prediction and let you react to it.
Sure.
I think whiteout game against Oregon, I'm betting that game no matter what happens to the spread. I think Penn State is pointing to the game, whiteout, veteran quarterback. Oregon has a new quarterback. I'm all over that game. I think Penn State wins it comfortably. I think they go to Columbus playing looser because at that point, I don't want to say the game doesn't matter, but if they're undefeated going into that game and they have that one loss and they could finish the season 11-1, they're probably in the conference championship game and they're comfortably into the playoffs. That's my prediction, 11-1. Big win against Oregon, close, tough loss again at Ohio State.
Yeah, very reasonable. I will definitely consider also making that my record prediction, but I'm just not sure yet. I've got to give it some more thought.
All right, Chris, that is going to have to be the last word for the show. Fantastic to have you back in the house again, Chris. Loved it. We'll need to do it again real soon. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.